The Lord be with you. Welcome to our Lenten online service for March the 18th. In this Lenten season, we have been using the metaphor of eyesight to examine how the various people in Mark's Gospel viewed Jesus during his passion. In most cases, they misunderstood who he was and what he was doing. Then again, sometimes by faith, people actually recognized him correctly. In this service, we hear about denying eyes of Peter. At first, Peter and the other disciples cannot see how they could ever fall away from Jesus. Then when Peter is spotted by the servant girl and realizes his own neck is on the line, he sees fit to deny Jesus, which leads to his weeping and remorse. What does it take for us to move beyond our own remorse to the discipleship we and our Lord desire? We consider how we are like or unlike the people who saw Jesus in the flesh. Most important, we will see what Jesus has done to save us from our sins by his holy precious blood and innocent suffering and death. And so we begin in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. We continue with the opening sentences. I lift my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come?
My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth.
The eyes of all look to you, and you give them their food in due season.
You open your hand, you satisfy the desire of every living thing.
Keep me as the apple of your eye.
Hide me in the shadow of your wings.
My eyes are ever toward the Lord.
For he will pluck my feet out of the net.
For I know that my Redeemer lives.
And at the last he will stand upon the earth.
And after my skin has thus been destroyed,
yet in my flesh I shall see God,
whom I shall see for myself.
And my eyes shall behold and not another. My heart faints within me.
The first reading comes from selected verses of Isaiah 59. Isaiah laments how Israel has been denying the Lord. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, or his ear dull that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you, so that he does not hear. For your hands are defiled with blood, and your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken lies. Your tongue mutters the wickedness. For our transgressions are multiplied before you, and our sins testify against us. For our transgressions are with us, and we know our iniquities. Transgressing and denying the Lord, and turning back from following our God, speaking oppression and revolt, receiving and uttering from the heart lying words. Lord, have mercy on us. Our second reading comes from the second chapter of Timothy. Paul reminds us that God has and his word can always be trusted. Remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, the offspring of David, as preached in my gospel, for which I am suffering, bound with chains as a criminal. But the word of God is not bound. Therefore I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they may also obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. The saying is trustworthy, for if we have died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. O Lord, have mercy on us. The Passion of Our Lord according to St. Mark, the 14th chapter.
And when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives, and Jesus said to them,
You will all fall away, for it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered. But after I am raised up, I will go before you to Galilee.
Peter said to him,
Even though they will all fall away, I will not.
Truly I tell you, this very night, before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me three times.
If I must die with you, I will not deny you.
And they all said the same. And as Peter was below in the courtyard, one of the servant girls of the high priest came, and seeing Peter warming himself, she looked at him and said, "You also are with the Nazarene, Jesus." But he denied it, saying,
"I neither know nor understand what you mean."
And he went out into the gateway, and the rooster crowed. And the servant girl saw him, and began again to say to the bystanders, "This man is one of them." But again he denied it. And after a little while, the bystanders again said to Peter, "Certainly you are one of them, for you are a Galilean." But he began to invoke a curse on himself and to swear,
"I do not know this man of whom you speak."
And immediately the rooster crowed a second time. And Peter remembered how Jesus had said to him,
"Before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me three times."
And he broke down and wept.
O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our Passion reading begins in the upper room. Jesus and the disciples have finished their meal. Jesus has washed the disciples' feet and instituted the sacrament of Holy Communion. Then, fulfilling the prophecy of the prophet Zechariah, Jesus tells the people they will all fall away. Zechariah wrote, "Strike the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered." Their proud spokesman, Peter, thought he was exempt from ever falling away from Jesus. "Even though they fall away, I will not," he exclaims. Jesus responds, "Truly I tell you, this very night, before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me three times." But Peter said emphatically, "If I must die with you, I will not deny you." Then all the disciples said the same thing. It was not just Peter. All the disciples tried to exempt themselves from Jesus' words of warning. They all were confident they would not fall away from Jesus. But in doing so, they were denying the words from the very lips of Jesus and the inspired and inerrant word from God recorded by the prophet Zechariah. You've probably heard the song "Lion Eyes" by the Eagles. "Even though you try to disguise your intent with a smile," the songwriter tells us, "it's not enough to hide your lion eyes." If our eyes give away lies to one another, then how much more can the omniscient Lord Jesus see lying and denying in the eyes of his disciples? What was in the eyes of the apostles as they looked upon Jesus predicting their falling away from him? First, perhaps, a look of horror at such an awful prospect. Then a look of disbelief as they processed his words and began to form their defense. And then, perhaps, that slightly crazed look of a religious fanatic who thinks he can keep all his promises to God by his fervor, by his own force of will. The eyes of the disciple weren't really seeing Jesus and letting the truth of his words sink into their ears. They were blinded by their own strong delusions. They were lying to themselves as they were denying their Lord's words. They were focused on their own perceptions and plans. They had their minds on the things of men rather than the things of God. So we see the disciples go on to deny Jesus by falling away, in spite of their strident protests to the contrary. It's only Peter's denial that's recorded. He seems to have been the only one with the courage to go to the courtyard. The other disciples simply ran away when Jesus was arrested. In dramatic fashion, Peter is cross-examined by a little servant girl and some bystanders. It had to be this way. Jesus had to be the last one standing, the only one who would never deny the will of his Father, but humbly submit to crucifixion and death for our salvation. When Jesus had quoted the prophet Zechariah, he had actually added two words not written by the prophet. Jesus said, "I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered." God spoke through Zechariah, so these are God's words. "Awake, O sword, against my shepherd, against the man who stands next to me," declares the Lord of hosts. "Strike the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered." Who is the man who stands next to Yahweh? It is Jesus. He is the one against whom the Father bids the sword awaken. "I will strike the shepherd," says the Father. You see, it wasn't Judas who handed Jesus over. It was the Father. It was God's will that Jesus had to suffer and die so that we might be saved. Earlier, I focused on Jesus' words about the disciples falling away and denying Jesus, but I left out the gospel. Jesus told them they would all fall away, but he also said, "But after I am raised up, I will go before you to Galilee." His words about their falling away and denial proved to be true. But even better, so did his prediction of his resurrection and the subsequent appearing to those denying and doubting disciples. Jesus entrusted the teaching and baptizing that would go out to all nations, turning deniers of God into confessors, into followers of Christ, empowered by the Holy Spirit. And what about Peter, who had fallen in such spectacular fashion? He had denied that he even knew Jesus. First, I should point out that he seems to have been the only one with the courage to even get close to Jesus' trial, so there's really no room here for Peter bashing. Second, we think we would never do such a thing. But how many times have we stood silently by when someone spoke words contradicting God's word? How many opportunities to confess the gospel to others have we passed up for fear of giving offense? And finally, we should recognize in Peter an example to follow in the way that he expressed contrition over what he had done. Unlike Judas, who had a change of heart but tried to deal with his guilt on his own, Peter had true, godly sorrow over his sin, which prepared him for the absolution he would receive on Easter when Jesus appeared to the apostles, showed them his hands and side, and spoke the forgiving words, "Peace be with you." And later on in Galilee, Peter got a special singling out that left no doubt he was restored from being a denier and placed into the office of confessor. At the Sea of Galilee, Jesus showed up for a breakfast on the beach with some of the disciples, including Peter. Jesus gave Peter a threefold admonition to feed his sheep, which negates Peter's threefold denial. And then Jesus said to the restored Peter, "Follow me." Today, Jesus says the same thing to you. "If anyone would come after me," Jesus says, "let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. For what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his soul?" Through your baptism into Christ, you have been given a gift greater than the whole world. You have lost your life in this world for the sake of Christ, and have now found your life in Him and His kingdom, where you are saved from sin, death, and hell. You now look forward to the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. "Come, follow me," Jesus says. "Come, for it is truly a joyful journey." Amen. We lift our petitions to God, who is always listening. The eyes of all look to you, and you give them their food in due season. We pray for all who struggle with unemployment or underemployment, with poor living conditions or displacement from home, with personal demons or ill health. Lord, in your mercy. We pray for all the people in authority over communities and countries, all whose decisions affect the climate of the planet and the health of its inhabitants, and all who are charged to maintain justice within their borders and peace among nations. Lord, in your mercy. We pray for the people of your creation, dear Lord, that as we face the impending pandemic, keep us strong in body, mind, and spirit. Keep us safe from disease and lead us to everlasting life. Lord, in your mercy. We pray for all who serve the Lord as they care for others during this current pandemic, for medical personnel and first responders, for counselors and advisors, for friends and neighbors, for professionals and volunteers. Bless their efforts and keep them safe from harm and danger. Lord, in your mercy. We pray for the church, wherever and however it gathers, relying on God's steadfast love and faithfulness, and looking forward to the fulfillment of all his gracious promises. Lord, in your mercy. O God, from whom come all desires, all good counsels, and just works, give to us, your servants, that peace which the world cannot give, that our hearts may be set to obey your commandments, and also that we, being defended from the fears of the world, may live in peace and quietness. Into your hands, Heavenly Father, we commend ourselves and all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Taught by our Lord and trusting in his promises, we are bold to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Guide us waking, O Lord, and guard us sleeping, that awake we may watch with Christ, and asleep we may rest in peace. The blessing of Almighty God, the Father who saw mankind's hopeless condition, the Son who showed the depth of God's love, and the Holy Spirit who has opened our eyes of faith in Christ, be upon you now and forever. Amen. I want to thank my wife Anne and my daughter Carrie Anne for their help preparing this service. Be looking for an email from us regarding future services as the council are considering their options and whether or not services will be canceled in the future. And now go in peace, serve the Lord. Thanks be to God.